Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, we're on the cusp of a new wave of chronic diseases that will emerge in 15 to 20 years. That's according to new research into flavoured vapes, which authors claim has uncovered harmful chemicals that are produced when the e-liquids in the vapes are heated for inhalation. The study was carried out by a research team at RCSI University of Medicine and Health Sciences, and I'm joined by the lead author of that study and Professor of Chemistry there, Donal O'Shea. Good morning to you, Donal.
Good morning, Cullum. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. The study is specifically looked at flavoured vapes, and there are quite a few of those. So how many did you test and how did you test them?
So what we looked at were the actual 180 different chemical flavours that are used to make up the commercial flavoured products. And we examined them by using artificial intelligence to predict what would happen when these were heated within the vaping devices themselves. So we could see what the breakdown products would be from heating these particular flavours.
And just for anyone who's not familiar with that kind of a method, so you weren't testing them on people or animals, you were using AI. So would you be confident that those, in the integrity of those results?
Yes, we would be, because there has been some experimental work done by others. And we can see that we are also predicting what has been found experimentally in these smaller studies. So the importance of going to an AI approach was that, as you know, this sort of area of vaping, especially in the younger demographic, is rapidly expanding. And there's a lot of uncertainty and unknown about what's being produced in these particular products. So using artificial intelligence, we can look at the entirety of all the different flavors that are being used in a single go and predict what's going to happen. And in that way, we can then follow up with experimental evidence at a later stage, but we can get a good insight into what really is occurring in these devices, and from there be able to understand what medical impacts will come down the line, maybe in 10, 15 years from now.
So you're looking at flavours which are made up of chemicals. They're in one form when they're in liquid form, but then the effect of heating on them, what happens to them?
Yeah, so with any chemical, if you heat it to a high temperature, it tends to break down into a variety of different other chemicals. So essentially one chemical flavour could break down into 10 to 20 different compounds. And that's the huge uncertainty that's still unknown. So what we've been trying to do is predict what those compounds are. And then with that knowledge, we can see what the health impacts of them would be.
And what did you find?
So what we find is that there are very toxic compounds being predicted to be formed. Some of them have been experimentally detected before. So really, in essence, if you think out into the future for prolonged long-term exposure of lungs to this, that we are going to see new diseases emerge in the future, cancers, cardiovascular diseases, and injuries to lungs. It's almost a certainty. You don't necessarily have to be a scientist or a medical doctor to understand this or to see the dangers that are here.
Right, and new disease. Is this because humans haven't been exposed to, intense doses of these heated chemicals heretofore?
It never have been before. So never have these compounds been heated to high temperatures and directly inhaled into the lungs. They're used in food products, and they've got a good safety profile there, where we eat them in our sweets and our soft drinks and in our sleep pastries, but never have they been used in this fashion before, and that's never been tested. So not only do we have the inherent risk of the flavors themselves, of which in any flavored vape, there could be anywhere from half a dozen to 20 different chemicals to make up that commercial flavor. And then you have all the heating breakdown products that are being formed as well. So there's a huge cocktail of unknown chemicals being delivered to the lungs every time somebody vapes.
And as far as you're aware, before these products made it to market, had any kind of an experiment like this been carried out before by anybody regulating this sector?
No, they have not been tested in this fashion before. And because that type of testing from an academic point of view is very challenging and costly, that's why we've gone to an AI approach to try to get a bird's eye overview of all the different things that can be happening from all the different individual flavor components. And in that way, try to inform the community as to what to look for.
All right. You said there's about 180 flavors. Are they as bad as each other, or are some worse than others? What did you find?
So some are worse than others. But I think what we should be focusing on also are not just the ones that are worse than others, but the ones that are most commonly used and most popular. And looking at those ones, they will certainly have issues with them. And they are flavors such as fruit flavors, sweet flavors, and candy flavors. So those, all those compounds we can see will be breaking down upon action of heat on them, producing a whole host of different compounds that are then immediately inhaled into the lungs. So they're the ones, I think, that need urgent attention.
And what is it about those sweet flavors that makes them particularly toxic?
They have a specific set of chemistry to them that are very prone to breaking down upon heating. And so it's a technical thing, but they have specific groups called esters, and that's what gives them that nice sweet or fruit flavors and aromas. And it is that bit that is susceptible to heat.
Okay, and what's the effect of those on human health, on human tissue?
Yeah, so what we can do is that when we see all the compounds that are being predicted that be produced, we can look at what's known about their toxicities. Because they are predominantly known compounds, and they have been tested for toxicities. And we can see that many of them are health hazard classified, some are acute toxic, and some are irritants. So we can then look at the profile of each individual component and sort of say, well, we inherently are risking cancers for this type of products that are being produced, or lung damage from this type of product, and so on. So because there are so many, you have to sort of mine into each one individually to see what would actually be predicted for it. But in essence, the challenge we have is that each one of those chemicals, remember, is blended into a commercial product. So there could be 5 or 6, up to 10 different ones in that product. And every product is different. So what we're sort of saying is that we have to look at the whole entity of all the flavors and begin to consider whether it is wise to have them in vape products at all.
All right. And so this is a longitudinal, albeit an AI study. You looked at what might happen over 10 to 15 years. So for somebody using flavored vapes over 10 to 15 years, what's the risk profile? How likely are they to become sick as a result of using them?
I think looking at the types of chemicals that are being produced, I think the likelihood is quite high. It may not be exactly the same as tobacco smoking, because different chemicals are also being produced in tobacco smoke that are not in vapes, and vice versa. So there will be differences. So I think a direct comparison with tobacco smoke is difficult. But if you compare to somebody who is not vaping, I think your risk of disease will be significantly higher. And we will see this happening in 10 to 15 years' time.
All right. And are you able to say at this point, at risk, but a risk of what order in terms of how more likely somebody who's smoking is more likely than someone who's not?
So the problem to get it down to that level of accuracy is difficult, because all the flavors have different chemical components in them. And all the vaping devices are different, with different heating and temperature profiles depending upon the power of the battery in it, and so on, and the makeup of the components in it. So unlike, say, tobacco smoking, where there might have been a half a dozen different brands, all containing tobacco leaf, every different vape device and vape solution is different. So it's going to be difficult to actually quantify which one will be the most dangerous. So it's such a diverse landscape, to make that type of accurate prediction is not possible at this stage, unfortunately.
And you, as you mentioned there, in comparing the effects of tobacco and the effects of vaping, there are many who'll argue that, despite the risks of vaping, it can be useful as a smoking cessation tool for people who are tobacco smokers.
Yeah. So that, in terms of quitting tobacco smoke, I think what we need also urgently is to get as much support to people who are attempting to do this, especially in the older generation. But what we're risking here is just transferring a new scourge to the younger generation as this issue is tried to be addressed in terms of people who are addicted to tobacco. If you look at what's happening now in the literature and what's been reported, is that there's sort of a sense in the community that vaping might be a cure-all for tobacco smoking, but that's maybe proving to be a false promise.
Right. There's a market all of its own of people who may never have taken up tobacco smoking. Is that what you're saying?
That's becoming the predominant market now. So, and also just the evidence that whether vaping will help people long term with quitting tobacco smoking And is it any better than other nicotine replacement therapies, whether it's patches or gums and so on? The evidence isn't very strong to say that it's much better or worse than the others. And for example, our HSE don't recommend vaping as a method for quitting tobacco smoking. So to achieve that, because it's such a difficult addiction, in terms of addiction to nicotine, I think you need to have a professional advice from your GP, from your pharmacist, to really guide you on how best to do that on an individual basis.
All right. Well, you, I suppose over the course of many years, the impact of tobacco was monitored. In your AI experiment, it's replicated the effects over decades. So in terms of passing this on then to regulators and recommending action on this, does your report contain recommendations, or do you have any recommendations yourself?
Yeah, so what we're recommending is that, you know, urgently we have to look at the number of chemical components in these particular vaping products, a recognition that they have not been tested for the type of use that they're currently being used for, and that information is not really very widely known in the vaping community. So really, we have to restrict the number of chemicals that go in there, and that means really strictly reducing the number of flavors is what we would be recommending.
And any thoughts on information to consumers and advertising within shops?
Well, I think it's sort of self-evident to everybody who looks at one of these shops. They're advertised and retailed as if they're sort of sweets or candies and chocolate bars. They look very similar, very colourful packaging and so on. So in terms of all of that, it needs to be addressed as well, that the packaging should be plain and it shouldn't be really marketed on a brand of a flavour or of a specific sweet or so on.
Okay.
But I think that's essential for the younger non-smoking generation, that they don't become addicted to nicotine through these products.
Okay, Professor Donal O'Shea of the RCSI, thanks very much for joining us this morning, and we're coming up next after three more reports. What's next on the horizon for RTE?